All right, you guys are dismissed. And here, these are. Charles wrote you guys some letters, so you guys can read in the back. All right, we're going to continue on in our talk on prayer, and we're going to spend a little while doing that. And I'll tell you, you know, I've read a lot of books on prayer. I studied quite a bit on the topic in seminary and even just on my own time. I always knew that prayer was really important. But I'll tell you, the greatest lesson or the most I ever learned in prayer, you know, compared to all the books that I'd read, I learned in one day with this one man. His name is Dick Simmons, and some of you guys may know him. He's quite well known. And Dick Simmons actually was, you guys ever heard of Pat Robertson? Right? The guy that started a Christian broadcasting network, CB, he actually ran for president maybe about 12 years ago. And Pat Robertson and also a guy named David Wilkerson. You guys know David Wilkerson is the guy that runs Times Square Church in New York. Well, Dick Simmons was their mentor. These guys got saved and discipled under Dick Simmons. And now Dick Simmons is probably about, when I had met him a few years ago, he's probably about 65, 67 years old. He's getting quite old. And now he's dedicating the whole rest of his life to prayer. And he's dedicating the rest of his life to prayer in Washington, D.C. And so what he does, and he has an apartment. He has a double, two-story apartment in Washington, D.C. His apartment is right across the street from the Supreme Court. And so they live on the first floor there. And on the second floor, it's sort of a loft kind of thing. They have a couple rooms. They have one room, and they call this the prayer room. This is the holy room. I mean, senators, you know, and congressmen and Christians that come, and they'll pray in this room. It's a very well-known place amongst the Christian community in Washington, D.C. And when you walk into this prayer room, there's three windows, very strategic windows. One window faces directly to the Supreme Court. The other window faces directly to the Capitol building. And the other window faces directly to the ACLU. If you guys know the American Civil Liberties Union, what I call the Antichrist Lawyers Union, right? It's a little different. And so, right, these guys, you know, two different rooms or three different windows, and they're facing all these different windows. And all he does, he goes up and he prays for the Supreme Court, he prays for our Senate, and he prays against the ACLU. You know, and that's his job. And his one task while he's for the rest of his breath that he says, he's going to pray against the issue of abortion in the United States. You know, and, you know, I mean, most people don't talk, this is not a political talk or anything like this, but abortion, right, you know, as you spend time, abortion is the modern day version of what they had a long time ago in 1st and 2nd Kings and all throughout. It's the spirit of Molech. And the spirit of Molech, this god of Molech, what they would do, they would take children and sacrifice these children to this god of Molech. Abortion today is a modern day version of the spirit of Molech being alive in our day, is a sacrificing of our children, right, unto, you know, whatever, call it free choice, you can call it all, whatever you want. But in the spiritual realm, that's exactly what happened. This is my own, you know, you don't have to agree with me or anything like this. It's not a political talk or anything, but just sharing, this is what he does. And so I spent a day with him, and I knew this guy was an incredible prayer. This guy spends 12 hours a day praying. You know, and you know, like, I only heard about people like that, and now I actually met some guy. And it wasn't a woman, it was a guy. You know, and stuff, you know, like, all the women pray, right? But there's not too many guys that can actually call themselves intercessors. And incidentally, when I was learning about all these things, if I found a guy, I would fly wherever. I remember flying to Northern California. I flew here and there, and I just spend time. Can I spend a day with you? You know, and I would just soak up their anointing, right? Just soak up what they had to teach me. You know, and they're always very gracious because, you know, not too many guys call them up and ask them, can you teach me to pray and stuff. And so we spent a day together, and I asked Dick. I said, Dick, can you teach me how to pray? Can you tell me what you do? You know, how do you do this? You know, that this whole thing. How in the world can you pray for 12 hours? You know, and stuff. And incidentally, that morning, you know, my because I was part of a team, we went there. You know, and we met at 5 in the morning and stuff. And we prayed. I mean, we prayed. It was amazing. And the next thing, I opened my eyes. It was 10 o'clock in the morning. We prayed for 5 hours straight. You know, I mean, it was the most amazing thing. I was like, wow, this is pretty easy. You know, I never did it again, but, you know, it's still pretty easy and stuff. And so, you know, we're going through this, and I ask him, Dick, how do you pray? Can you teach me? You know, I'm an able student today. Teach me how to pray. You know, teach me, what do you do? You know, and the first thing he says, because, you know, he's an old guy and stuff, so it's old school, right? You know, kind of, he's just really in your face, really blunt, you know, and he says, well, Sam, if you go to pray, you're not praying. That's not true prayer. You know, and I was like, huh? You know, because, you know, we go to pray all the time, right? He says, if you go to pray, that's not true prayer. He says, prayer, right, is a joining together with the Holy Spirit. True prayer is a response to the Holy Spirit's initiative in our life. You know, and I read so many books and no one ever said that. You know, because, you know, people always say, like, oh, you should wake up in the morning, you know, put a nice, you know, like, little rug in front of you. And so I actually bought a prayer rug when I was in Nepal, you know, a nice little rug, you know, and, you know, so I had it in my room and, you know, like, make sure it's quiet. You know, you hear all these things and no one ever said true prayer, right, is a response to God. And it's sort of wrong. And then, I mean, he was just going off and we started talking. I mean, there is so much anointing in this guy. I actually connected him with another church that I was ministering in when I was in D.C. in Maryland, Agape Mission Church. You may know this church. And I connected him, and he spoke there one Sunday, and he rocked that place. So much so that immediately, as soon as he finished, the next day they started early morning prayer. Everybody, right? 5 a.m, everyone in the whole church. It's about a 300-member church. Everyone shows up. They still do that to this day. Every single day, they don't miss a day. Now, Agape Mission Church is a different church. Agape, they started out with the ministry at Johns Hopkins University, right? These are all doctors. In fact, the senior pastor, Dr. Hyun Kim, is a cardiologist. He's a very well-known cardiologist in the area. He teaches at the University of Maryland, right, cardiology. He has his own practice. He's a pastor of 3 different churches that they're under. And he gets up 5 o'clock every morning, right? That's why, you know, like Korean parents, you know, and they always compare, if you live in the East Coast, they always compare you to Dr. Kim. Why can't you be like Dr. Kim, you know? So, you know, I mean, this guy's got everything, right? And so he was like the brunt of many, many ill feelings for a very long time and stuff. But these guys, and they wake up every morning, they get together and they pray, they seek God's face. They meet in different houses every single morning. Still to this day, I should say, right? I'm still trying to figure out the system. I actually like that sound, so I just keep doing that. And so, it's just an amazing thing. And there's so much anointing. And I felt like, as I was just spending time with them, that I received an impartation in some way. You know, and realized, man, right, true prayer is waiting on God and joining the Holy Spirit's intercession. That's true prayer. You know, it doesn't mean that when you go and you're praying for your mom, I'm not saying that's not prayer, okay? That's prayer too. But this is prayer that reaches the heart of God. Now, this is the kind of prayer that you know, causes God to wake up. Not that he's sleeping, you know, but he just, he just gets up. It's like, have you ever read Jabez's, Jabez's prayer? You know, if you read that, you know, I know Wilkinson wrote this book, and, you know, I mean, sold millions of copies and things. But as in Jabez's prayer, and as he's going, he's saying, you know, this begat this guy, and this guy begat this guy, and this guy begat that guy, and that guy begat, you know, it was this whole thing of this guy was his father, you know, this, you know, that happened. And all of a sudden, Jabez comes up, and all it seemed like God just woke up, you know, and there was something about Jabez, and it says, oh, and Jabez, I'm going to bless his heart, and I'm going to expand his horizons, and he goes on and on and on. And this is the kind of prayer, almost like it written to Jabez. It's like the same thing. You're just going through the daily motions, and you're doing your daily thing. And all of a sudden, you get into this place of true prayer, and it wakes God up. And God just, and he just begins to bless us. You know, and this is where we want to walk in. You know, I don't know about you, but this is the kind of prayer that I want to walk in. You know what I mean? I don't want to waste my time, you know, per se. You know, and so you continue on, and he's saying, you know, true prayer is birthed out of the Holy Spirit. It's not a program. It's not a list. It's depending, it's trusting, and it's obeying. True prayer is responding to God, the Holy Spirit. You know, this is what it means. This is what, when the disciples and the apostles, right, and the prophets, this is what they were doing. Right, they were sitting there, they're waiting on the Lord, and God brought the word, right, and it brought life to a whole people. I'll give you an illustration. In the Hebrides Islands, you know, it's funny, actually, Pastor Park preached on some of this morning. You know, he talked about Duncan Campbell and things. I was sort of freaking out as I was listening to him. It was the same thing, a different story, though. Right? But in the Hebrides Islands off the coast of Scotland, there was an incredible revival that broke out. The story goes, it started that 7 young men, they decided to, after they had read the book of Isaiah, right? The book of Isaiah says, O Jerusalem, I will send watchmen on the towers. They will give themselves no rest, and they will give God no rest. Right, until he comes to bring a praise for Jerusalem. Right, a very famous passage on prayer. And so these guys read Isaiah, and they were so cut into their heart, they devoted themselves 3 nights a week, right? This had been going on for about 3 years at this time. Every night, they would come home from work. You know, they work long days. You know, they would eat meals with their family. You know, they would put their kids to bed. And then these seven men that had devoted themselves and covenanted with one another, they would go up to a barn up on the mountains, and they would pray together. Sometimes they would pray for an hour. Sometimes they would get up at 5 a.m. You know, they would pray for that long. They're just, you know, just obedient to God and whatever God had mounted for them. And so as they were praying, and they had done this for 3 years now, right? I mean, 3 nights a week. You know, I mean, you know, doing hard work during the day, you know, doing what they need to do, and, you know, going to church and doing all their church activities, but just spending a day in prayer and asking God to bring revival to the Hebride Islands. You know, and they were faithful in doing this. They did it over and over and over again. As the story continues on, one day, one of the guys, as they were crying out for revival, one of the guys was reading Psalm 24, 3 and 5. We actually sang this song. It's our first song that we sang today. You know, Psalm 20, if you guys know me, you know that's my favorite psalm, right? You know, it says, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, right? The world and those who dwell in it. And the part that says is, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in His holy presence? Right? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart, who have not lifted up their soul to falsehood, nor sworn deceitfully. And it says, and they shall receive a blessing from the Lord. And so this one guy began to read Psalm 24, 3 to 5. And all of a sudden, something began to move in his heart, and he began to get convicted. And this is a direct quote from what he says. After he reads this, Psalm 24, one of the men spoke on it. He says, brothers, and now this is old language, so you got to follow with me, right? He says, brethren, is it not so much humbug to be waiting thus night after night if we ourselves are not right with God? The story says, and then he lifted up his hands and he cried out, O God, are my hands clean? And he cried out, O God, is my heart pure? And as soon as he began to offer up this prayer, they said something supernatural began to encompass that barn. And all of a sudden, immediately, every single one of them lay prostrate on their face before the Lord with their hands raised up. And he said, and the Spirit of God moved so powerfully amongst these seven men. And they said that it was like this lightning bolt that would come into their hearts, and God would show them that their sin. You know, and this guy had recognized so clearly. And he's saying, you know, we've been praying for 3 years, 3 nights a week. You know, I mean, we could rest, we could do it, and we've been coming here praying for revival. And they asked this question, could it be that God's not listening to us because we don't have clean hands and we don't have a pure heart? And they came to that place, and as the Spirit of God began to move in their hearts, they begin to repent. You know, and God began to show them the dirt in their hearts. You know, and something glorious began to happen. And these guys, they write in their autobiography, you know, it's actually in the autobiography of Duncan Campbell, and they're writing in this, and they're talking about this, and saying that something powerful entered into their life that day, and they were forever changed forever. The story doesn't end there. God moved so powerfully amongst them. They come back, and as they're walking down, right, from the barn down back into the town in the Hebrides, right, a little island called Williams. As they're walking down, all of a sudden they see lights in all the houses, you know, and they see, you know, because usually by this time, you know, it would be all dark. They start walking through, and all of a sudden they see drunkards on all fours, bawling their eyes out, crying out for God. Next thing, you know, they keep walking, and they notice there's a noise in the church. The pastor, the people had come in because actually someone else that morning, actually, it was a pastor's wife, had actually seen a vision that day that God was going to bring revival to the Hebrides. And so they opened up the church that night, and it was filled with people on their knees crying out to God for repentance. And thus started the great revival of the Hebride Islands. And, you know, some of you guys may know the story. Then they asked Duncan Campbell to come. You know, and Campbell, he was only supposed to speak for a little time. He ended up staying for a very long time. And this revival spread all throughout Wales, all throughout Scotland. It actually hit parts of even parts of China, right? And just all over. You know, it was the most amazing thing. You know, and you think about this, right? These guys had prayed for so many years, but now they followed the unction of the Holy Spirit. You know, they had followed their program for many years, and now they waited on God, and God spoke to them. You know, it was a simple psalm, and immediately, right, as they obeyed, right, as they gave themselves into and submitted themselves before God, the Holy Spirit, God began to move on their behalf. You know, which goes to say, could there be prayers that we're offering up to God? Could there be things that we feel like that we deserve or whatnot? And could it be that we don't have clean hands and a pure heart? And thus, as the Old Testament tells us, and because you have, you know, restored sin in your heart, God will not hear. You know, could it be? You know, and true praying, what I'm talking about, this attitude, you know, that people have and these things that are moving in the midst of us, right? To really begin to pray, to really seek after God. What I want to do during this time is I want to change your attitudes about prayer. I share this story. There was a little boy, he was playing baseball, American baseball, right? The national pastime. And he had a bat in his hand, a ball in his other hand, and he would sit there, and every day he'd go out and he's practicing. And you know, if you guys ever play baseball, right, you throw the ball up and you take a swing. And so he'd do that, right? He'd stand up there, and this guy was so confident. He says, "I'm the greatest hitter in the world," right? And then he'd take a ball, he'd throw up in the air, and he'd take a swing and strike one, and he'd miss, right? It's okay. Kid would pick the ball up again, and he'd stand with the ball in his hand and with the bat in his hand. "I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He'd throw the ball up and take a swing, and he'd miss again, strike two, right? Nobody, the kid's not daunted, right? He picks the ball up again and looks at the ball and looks at his bat and says, "It's okay. I'm the greatest hitter in the world." He throws the ball up in the air. He takes a swing, and he misses. And then he looks back and says, "It's okay. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world," you know? And so my attitude changed. So you guys don't know baseball. You guys don't even know what I just talked about, right? And stuff, but, you know, attitude change, you know? And so, like, this kid had an attitude change. I want us to walk in an attitude change. You know, we had this idea about prayer that it's like, you know, I mean, come on, let's be honest, right? You know, like, you know, like, we, you know, I mean, I could ask you right now, okay, you know, next week, can you pray for offering? You know, it's like, you know, it's like, oh, I got to prepare. You know, we just have a negative attitude, a negative mindset about prayer. You know, it's just, you know, I don't know where it came from. It's just the way it is. You know, we just, when it comes to prayer, it's just one of those things where it's just drudgery. You know, I mean, sometimes it's painful. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, I can remember, you know, like, you know, every New Year's, right? We always have resolutions and things. And I can always remember, I really, you know, like, okay, God, I'm going to give you an hour every day, all right? First hour and things. And you come up and you get up okay and you're ready to pray. And so you get there and you pray about everything you could pray for. And also you look at your watch and you think, man, time, 5 minutes has gone by. Right? And then now you're praying for every nation of the world, every nation that you can think of, you know, Spain, Switzerland, you know, you're going through the alphabet and all these things. And, you know, you look at your watch, oh, another 5 minutes has passed. You know, it is, right? I mean, let's be honest. I'm honest too, okay? Sometimes just praying is just painful. You know, it's just like so difficult. You know, like I shared a couple weeks ago, if prayer is so good for us, why is it so hard? You know what I mean? You know, like exercise is good for us. Exercise is fun. Maybe for some of us, you know, and things. You know, for me, this is really fun. I can't live without it. And stuff, and it should be the same attitude of prayer, but it's not, you know? And things, and so much so, and I'm glad that most of us, you know, when we fasted these last 21 days, I hope that God broke you of that mentality. That's one of the things that we really prayed for, you know? As much as you need food, right, you need to speak to God, you know? And so what I really want to do today, and I don't know how long I'm going to get here and things, but I want to redefine prayer for us. You know, and have an attitude adjustment in the area of prayer, right? Now, prayer, let me read these words. This is if you guys ever read Augustine before, St. Augustine, right? In his book, Confessions, this is in the first chapter. This is a very famous quote. And, you know, many people quote it again and again. And Augustine says, "For thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." Right, "For thou hast made us for thyself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee." You gotta understand, each one of us, we were designed to fellowship with God. And without that fellowship, we ache in emptiness in our hearts. He himself planted that longing there, and a longing that each of us share. Right? The psalmist, Ecclesiastes said another way, he said, "He has set eternity in our hearts." See, Augustine was true. He says, God puts something within each one of us. It's a longing for Him. And until we connect in that longing, until we find the longing of our hearts, we will walk in aimless emptiness for the rest of our lives. You know, and it's not the Christians that say you need God, right? It's just the order of the universe. You know, this longing for a creator, this longing for a savior, You know, Paul in Romans chapter 1 will expound on this theme even more so, even more beautifully than I can ever imagine. You know, prayer, is transcendent. Prayer goes beyond ourselves. Prayer is a spiritual transaction, right, that the Holy of God brings us into, right, our sinful nature, and we can enter into that place. It's only through prayer. Right, it's where God's longing to fellowship with us. Right, God's longing to be with us, and our longing to be with Him connects it through the medium of prayer. You can't find this anywhere else in the world. Right, but it's only through the mode and the means of prayer by which these things happen. You know, another way of saying it, and I quote this many times, but many years ago, Peter Jennings, when Mother Teresa was alive, Peter Jennings was interviewing Mother Teresa. And they were talking about prayer. They were talking about many different things. And if you don't know, Peter Jennings is a very famous newscaster in the United States, probably one of the most recognized and well-known newscasters in the States. And he was interviewing Mother Teresa, and he asked Mother Teresa this question. He asked her very simply, says, "What do you say to God when you pray?" And Mother Teresa responded and said, "Nothing. I listen." You know, it sounds like such a very spiritual answer, right? You know, and so Jennings was intrigued and says, well, what does God say to you? You know, and Mother Teresa looked at him straight in the eyes and said, "Nothing. He listens." And then she added on and says, "And if you don't understand that, I can't help you." You know? And, you know, the funny thing is, that's really what prayer is. It's simply like that. And if you can't understand that, I can't help you either. You know, prayer takes us beyond ourselves, takes us beyond our mentality, takes us beyond our way of thinking, right? And it brings us into something supernatural. You know, just simply getting on your knees or you know, forget the posture about knees or anything, but just simply fellowshipping with God and just walking with Him. And God begins to move in the midst of us. You know, when I pray, right, I just listen and heal it. I mean, there's something just so beautiful about the way she describes that. But that's just the transcendent nature of prayer in our lives. You know, you got to understand, it's not us that are seeking after God. It's actually God that is earnestly pursuing after us. You know, and we, you know, we feel like we sort of got it mixed up, right? We feel like, okay, God, I got to come to You. These things, but it's God that is hungrily seeking after and searching after fellowship with us. Right? You know, I mean, I said it so many times before, right? I mean, you know, God has 2/3 of heaven, right? 2/3 of the angels are still with Him. You know what I mean? And so, they can do whatever He wants to do, much better than we can. You know, you could turn and say, "Gabriel, you know, take a couple million angels and go, you know, go handle Iraq, you know? You know, or go, you know, grab a legion of these guys, Michael, and, you know, and go, you know, find Bin Laden, you know, or, you know, I don't know what. You can tell I'm so American, right, in my thinking and stuff, you know. And, you know, we can say all these different things and, you know, go take care of this and, you know, handle the hunger in this situation, you know. Go to Ethiopia and take care of the AIDS, you know, that's happening here in Zimbabwe and all these things. But He doesn't. You know what I mean? I mean, in some ways, but He desires the partnership with us. It's amazing. I mean, it just blows my mind. Right, my seminary professor said it this way, right? Without God, we can't. But without us, He won't. You know, and He's looking for this divine partnership again and again. And the medium by which that happens is prayer. It's prayer. You know, one of my key objectives as a pastor, right, is I want to introduce prayer or a life of prayer in such a way that it's not drudgery. You know, I take kids to retreats when I was in the States, and we take them to one purpose. I take them just to kill them, right? I mean, I tell them right off the bat, right? I'm here to ruin your life, you know. And trust me, I'm going to ruin your life. I'm not like actually a friend of mine who's a pastor in Chicago. Some of you guys might know Pastor Min Chung, but Pastor Min, homeboy, crazy man, right? So they have meetings, and he makes them pray. You know what I mean? Like, you know, before he goes up to speak, I heard these guys were telling me one day. Before he went up to speak, he made them pray for 6 hours so they could be worthy of his message to come up, right? You know, I mean, he didn't say it that way and things, but, you know, just to get their hearts ready for the word of God. I mean, he made them kneel, right? And there was, it was like maybe 1,200 of them, you know, in this auditorium. He made these guys kneel, and they knelt for 6 hours, you know, and, you know, hour by hour passed by, and he's like, no, these guys are not ready yet. For another hour, no, and then 6 hours, and then he preached the word, you know. And so I asked one of the students that was there, actually, that knelt for 6 hours, you know, I asked her, so, was it good? You know, and she goes, oh, man, that was amazing. You know, and it's all of a sudden, right, her paradigm has just shifted. And she realized the benefit of prayer, how incredible it could be. So I take kids, I don't make them pray and things like that, right? I know kids got the free will and stuff. But I try to make prayer so irresistible, right? I mean, it's just the most amazing thing that you could ever walk in relationship with God with. You know, and kids' hearts just begin to change. You know, so much so that, you know, I don't have to force them to pray for stuff. We pray all night long, all the time. You know, and they willfully do that on their own because something shifted in their mind. Before it was just like work, you know, before it was pain, before it was labor. And all of a sudden they realize it's joy, right? It's their peace, right? God's going to do something as a result of their prayers. And see, and this is the shift that needs to be made, not just so they can get stuff, right? But just so they can be with God. Right? You must make that shift in some part of your heart. Prayer is not just so you can get stuff from Him. Prayer is to be with Him. You know, and see, and it's not just for us to be with Him, but it's the longing of the Father to be with us. Right? It's God that is searching and seeking, right, for that person just to spend time with Him. I remember getting this message on my email many, many years ago. And this had been going around the world. I'm sure it's been around the world like 10 times by now. And so it was a story, I don't know if you ever read it, about Jesus waiting at a cafe. You guys ever read this email? Right? I wish I had it with me, right? It was so touching. And it was about Jesus waiting in a cafe, it was a coffee store, right? And he was waiting for people every morning, waiting for this one particular person. And this person would always like, oh, I don't have time today. You know, and he'd go, and the next day, oh, I got to do this. And, you know, all these excuses over and over again. And precious Jesus is waiting in the coffee store, right, just waiting for this person every single day. You know, and that's, I mean, you know, obviously he's not waiting at Starbucks for us or anything like that. You know, but it's in that same way. It's this transcendent figure, this spiritual being that is longing after us. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you now. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart of hearts. You know, a lot of us, we feel like we're not needed. You know, like in the core of our hearts, you know, you can call it low self-esteem. You can call it whatever you want. You know, but we feel like no one really cares. You know, no one really loves us. You know, we're unlovable. We're unforgivable. These are, you know, two of the greatest weapons that the enemy has placed upon the church, right? That we're unlovable, that we're unforgivable. You know, and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. There is a loving Father that longs to be with you. There's a loving Father that longs, right, to grab His strong arms and comfort and caress you. You know, in the greatest times of your life, in the darkest points of your life, Father God, right, Father God. You know, He could have displayed Himself in so many different ways, but He chose the word Father, you know, above all these other things. And He displayed Himself in that way. And Father God wants to be with us. You know, and you look and say, well, I'm not really that holy. You know, I don't know all the answers. I haven't read the whole Bible, you know. And so I only know a couple of verses, you know, John 3:16. You know, the only verse I ever memorized was in John, Jesus wept, you know. You know what I mean and stuff? And we're like, you know, Lord, I don't know, you know, kind of these kind of things, God. But, you know, and God the Father, regardless of what's in our hearts, He longs to be with us. Church, that's prayer. That's what prayer is about. Prayer is that divine connection, right? That we just simply connect with Him. And if you come with clean hands and a pure heart and you open up your heart to Him and you say, Jesus, that you rest assured that God will come and God will minister. I tell you, right, my favorite mode of prayer, you know, and actually, you know, I heard Jimmy does this regularly as well, right? Is it regularly? You know, and stuff after I preached on it. But sometimes, you know, I just lie on my back. I just put my arms out. I do this all the time. And I just lie on my back and I just say, okay, God, just take over. You know, Jesus, just come. You know, I don't have much words to offer, you know, and I just, you know, have just a little bit of emotional content to give you, God, but here I am. You know, here am I. You know, I'm not saying, Lord, use me, or, you know, oh, make me strong. You know, I'm just saying, God, here I am. You know, and I'm from the bottom of my heart, I've never seen God fail me. And God always comes. You know, and like I said, sometimes I fall asleep, you know. No worries, man, right? No worries. You know, I just feel like God just wants to give me rest, right? Supernatural rest, baby. I mean, I'm serious, it's, you know, and stuff. And so, I mean, you know, Elizabeth Elliot. There were a bunch of people asked her one day, you know, and they said, what's the key to an effective prayer life? You know what she said? She didn't say, you know, oh, getting up early in the morning, falling on your knees, and, you know, putting your hands together in this way or that way, you know. She said the key to effective prayer life is 8 hours of sleep. Right? So practical, right? And then he said, you know, sometimes we need to sleep. I mean, let the Lord give you rest. No, if it's like every day, you know, like every time you pray, 2 seconds, right? Okay, maybe you're not praying, all right? That's a little something different. You know, I know. Like, I'm a pastor, right? Whatever I say, you guys got to stretch it as far as you can, right? And stuff. And so, you know, but it just in that place where you just come, you say, God, here I am. You know, and then as you begin to commune with Him, you know, and this is where it starts. As you begin to connect with God, the prayers just start flowing out of you. Next thing you know, you start getting dangerous and you start hearing His voice. You know, next thing you know, right, you begin to see pictures of people's faces. You know, when I come to pray, you know, and not when I, because I don't like to do it when there's so many people, right? We do that, but my own private prayer time. You know, I just sit there and I just, Lord, I'm an empty book. You know, sometimes I say, Lord, write on me as much as you want, right? I mean, you know, write on the pages of my heart. You know, and I just wait. And I say, because I don't know what to pray for. I mean, there's so many things to pray for. You know what I mean? I mean, you can pray forever about so many different things. But see, I want to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Lord, you know, right, think about this. Jesus, right, He ascended to heaven, and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. What is Jesus praying about? Right? Because, I mean, that's what Jesus is doing, right? He's praying for us. Right? He is forever making intercession for us. So He's interceding. So right now, even though He transcends time and space, in our space and time, Jesus is at the foot of the Father, right, kneeling at His feet, and He's praying. And I'd like to imagine Jesus rocking back and forth. You know, I think He prays like a good Korean, you know? And so, I mean, He's going back and forth, and, you know, and He's praying, you know? And I wonder, what is He praying about, you know? I mean, for in my life, you know? And so He transcends time and space, so He's praying for all of us in different ways. But, well, Lord, what are You doing in my life? And what are You doing in the life of my church? And so when I come to that place, that's what I'm asking God. Lord, what are You praying? Right? What are You doing in heaven that I may translate that will here on earth? Right? As I said before, and I'm actually going to teach on the Lord's Prayer later. Right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is done in heaven. Actually, that's actually a really bad translation. Right? I teach on this before. Actually, a better translation in the Greek, it's a past tense imperative. Right? Lord, no, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Let Your kingdom come. Let Your will be done on earth as it already has been done in heaven. Right? Past tense imperative. Right? And so something is already done. So what's the will of heaven needs to be translated here on earth. And so when I come to that place of prayer, I just open my heart. You know, I ask the Lord, forgive me. You know, whatever I've done. So I make sure we can connect. You know, and I just sit there and I just wait on Him. And all of a sudden, I just start connecting with Him. You know, I don't have to, you know, really try. Sometimes when I get really frustrated, I do the Korean thing, man. You know that juyo, juyo, juyo thing? You know how they do three times and stuff? It really works, man. You know, I like, this might sound really, you know, the first time I ever heard it, I was scared out of my life. You know, my mom dragged me to church, you know, and all of a sudden they turned the lights off, you know, and stuff. And then, you know, all these like nice Korean men and women, you know, sitting down so nice. And, you know, then the pastor says, let's pray. They turn the lights off and, juyo! Juyo! Right? You know, and do three times, right? And, man, I got goosebumps. I was scared out of my life, you know, and it really scared me. But then sometimes when I get really frustrated, I'll be really honest. I just get on my knees and I just get in that place of prayer. I don't turn the lights off or anything, you know. I just say, Jah! You know, there's a lot of, and I don't know why. I just feel like I just broke through. You know, I don't, you know, I mean, Koreans have been doing it for centuries, right? I mean, it must work, you know. You know, I mean, there must have, okay, not centuries, sorry, a couple hundred years. Yeah? What's a century? Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, they did it for such a couple centuries, sorry, right? And stuff, and, you know, and you know, you just do that and just feel like breakthrough, you know, and I just connect with God, and I just wait on God, you know, and I will allow Him to pray through me, you know, and stuff, and I don't have to sit there, you know, I don't have to, you know, bang on the floor, you know, and well, sometimes that's good too, you know, and stuff, or stomp down, or, you know, bury my head between my knees, and, you know, and you just wait, and, you know, and sure enough, and all of a sudden I get someone's face, sometimes I get your faces. And I think, oh, Lord, you're doing okay. I just pray for this person. Sometimes I'll see a picture or something. I'll pray for that. Or, you know, sometimes, you know, I'll get someone's name and I'll pray for that. You know, and mostly related to church and to my own life and my family. You know, but I just wait on the Lord. Of course, there's stuff I pray for every single day. I pray for my parents. You know, I pray for my church. You know, I pray for my wife. You know, I pray for many of you guys, you know, on the leadership team. And, you know, I pray for you guys that are doing the experiencing God. You know, there's some things that I just pray all the time. But then when I really pray is when I join the groaning of the Holy Spirit and join His intercession. I just wait on Him. Right? And man, it just begins to flow out of you. You know, and it may sound so foreign to you, and I know it's so subjective. You know, and so you pray. You know, I mean, So you pray, right? Close your eyes and all of a sudden you get a picture of a cow, you know? I'm just saying, right? Now, so pray for the cow, you know? It's not going to kill you, you know what I mean? And stuff, until God just sharpens, right, your ability to hear and stuff. And, you know, maybe He wants you to pray for the Hindus or something. I don't know. And things, and so don't get all freaked out about what you see. Right? I'm just, okay, I know I'm being ridiculous, right? But, you know, just whatever's happening, just begin to just soak in. You know, and just begin to give yourself, and you begin to see that prayer flows out of you. You know, and see, like Mother Teresa said, right? If you don't understand that, I can't help you. You know what I mean? And this is something that you know, as Tozer said, many, right? This is from the heart of the children of the burning heart. You know, something that's deep within us, right? That long after God. You know, and again, this whole thing, it's not us longing for Him; it's Him that longs for us. As He says in James 4:8, right? What does He say? Draw near to God, and He'll draw near to you. That's what prayer is. Prayer, true prayer, is a drawing near to God. Right? And if you could just, all you are, you're just a channel of that. You're just a funnel by which God's groaning and God's heart begins to give into you, and you just begin to release that back to the Lord in prayer. And once you begin to do that, you begin, your prayer life just becomes incredible. You know, it's not 2 minutes, you know, and like, okay, I'm done, you know, and, all right, what's next? And all of a sudden, because what happens, you begin to learn to be intimate with Jesus. You know, can I say this? This is the goal of every prayer that we should offer up, that we may walk in divine intimacy, divine relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just for us to get stuff. You know, and the benefit, we'll get stuff. You know what I mean? It's like fringe benefit. You know, but it's God calling for us, and as we give ourselves to Him. See, don't get me wrong. It's not God that needs us. It's us that need God. You know, and the best picture I can see is of a loving mother. You know, and, you know, there's an infant that's just crying, and, you know, and it's a mother that just comes and just sort of just grabs a child, you know, in her arms and just comforts, you know, and that's what it's like, right? It's not us that need, you know, Him, you know, it's the other way around. It's not God that needs us, but it's us that really need Him. We're like that child, you know, we're crying and, you know, acting like a baby and all these things, and it's this loving mother, right? God the Father could be a loving mother too, right? Comes and just grabs a hold of us, and He comforts us and nourishes us, and He says, what do you need? Well, I'm glad you asked, God, you know, and then we can just start giving Him our list, you know, or whatever's, you know, on our agenda, you know, but it flows out of that intimacy, because I guarantee you start getting intimate with the Lord, it changes your prayers. You know, we do this thing in Experiencing God that we have a prayer card, you know, and last year we did it, and this year we started over again, And we have people give their prayer cards, and they give it to me, and I pray for them. I'm their intercessor during this whole time. They also need to find three other people to pray for them throughout these 12 weeks. But, you know, they write all these prayer requests, and the craziest thing happens. About the fifth or sixth week, you know, because they add prayer requests, and they cross out prayer requests that get answered, you know, and then I'll get some cards, and all of them will be crossed off. I'll be like, wow, did God answer your prayers? No. What happened? Well, I realized that that's not really that important to me anymore. I realized that those were actually really wrong prayers, that they were really selfish prayers. And God has reoriented my prayers now. And so this is new, you know? I mean, it's the most amazing thing, right? You start walking with the Lord, and those things that seem so important are not really that important anymore. And God begins to bring greater priorities in our life. And these things begin to get a little more important in our lives. Right? I mean, the most beautiful things happen, right? As we walk in fellowship, right? As we walk in intimacy with the Lord, right? The loving Father earnestly seeking for fellowship and intimacy with His children, right? True prayer, right? True prayer is waiting on the Lord, right? True prayer is seeking after His heart, right? True prayer is really giving yourself in this way. I think I'm going to stop there today. All right. Amen? Come on, I know you guys are a lot more excited than that, all right? And stuff. I have a whole other thing, but I think I'm going to hold off until next week. All right. Let's close our eyes. Today I didn't give you 1, 2, 3, 4, plan A, plan B, plan C. Prayer transcends. It's so above and beyond. But I really believe that the Lord, because this is our prayer, these first 6 months that we come before the Lord, Lord, teach us to pray. And this is the heart of my heart, God. Lord, teach me to pray. And see, I know that before God does anything, He reveals them to the prophets. In other words, God tells us beforehand what He's about to do. And if He's stirring us as a church, He's causing us to say, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, that's great news, because that means God's going to teach us to pray. I'm asking God this morning, or this afternoon, to do a supernatural work in our lives. I'm asking Him to change our thoughts, our attitudes about prayer. It would become our magnificent obsession. Because Jesus is our magnificent obsession. If you really struggle in the area of prayer, it's drudgery, it's labor, I believe God wants to reorient your thinking today. And not just today, but every day. To get us into a posture to receive from the Lord. If you struggle with prayer in your mindset and difficulty, but you heard my message and you want to walk in that, on the waiting on the Lord and being a funnel and a channel, I want to invite you where you are. If you can take this step of faith with us, we'll take the posture of prayer. We'll get on our knees today. And we say, Lord, teach me to pray. And all over this room, don't worry about anybody else. It's just you and the Lord. You can slip down from your seats. Just get on your knees before Him as a sign of faith and humility. And all you're saying today is, right, not that you want a perfect prayer life or anything, you're just saying, Lord, teach me to pray. We're not perfect, you know what I mean? We have a long way to go. That's not the point. But you hear the Father heart, how He longs to be with you. And He longs to change you. And so we simply pray, Lord, teach us to pray. Lord, teach me to pray. Lord, teach me to wait upon You. Show me what true praying is really about, God. Lord, teach me to wait upon You and to join You in Your prayers, God. And as you're on your knees before the Lord, just go to Him. I believe You have an open heaven today. Just go before the Lord. And then, invariably, as you do that, you'll find the Lord begin to show you things. Maybe He'll remind you about your parents, or He'll give you a situation in your life, your co-worker. Just pray. Join Him. That's His heart. Lord, we bind our heart to Your heart today. And we say, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to draw near to You, God. Change us, Jesus. Lord, have Your way with us, O God. Let's go to the Lord. Bless You, Jesus. Formal. He knows you by your name already.